Leagues Radio Sport.
2 minutes after 5 o'clock, then welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified. Simon Quine with you through until around about 6 o'clock this evening, when Rob Pritchard will be here with Tony Meppham to bring you full commentary as FC Isle of Man take on Earlham at the Bowl. We'll get team news round about 5:30. Before that, though, we'll look back at the 5 remaining fixtures in local football today. Tony Meppham joining me in the studio. One of the Manx Carstow Railway Cup semi-finals did go ahead today, and we will also have the ECAP FA Cup prelim round draw. Those games will take place on the 3rd of January. And in rugby, Dave Christian will join me to look back at 5 games in rugby today. All that's coming between now and sometime near 6 o'clock. But as always, we'll start off with the classified results, and beginning in football, the Manx Carstow Railway Cup semi-final finished Peel 4, Laxey 1. The second semi-final between Onchan and Corinthians was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch, as were many of the other games on the programme. Just focusing on the games that did go ahead down the sheet to Arden and Drugan Limited Division 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 10, Maloo 1, Douglasson District 0, Colby 3. Moving on to Canada Life Combination 1, St Mary's 3, Onchan 2, and Arden and Drugan Limited Combination 2, Castletown 3, Douglas Royal 3. Looking at rugby, Regional 2, North West, West Park St Helens 30, Douglas 28, Counties 3, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, Vagabonds 21, Bury 43, and Duckenfield 19, Ramsey 8, and the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, Western Vikings 22, Douglas Celts 66. No Ben Cunningham this week either, as there is no outdoor hockey. So that means we'll dive straight in to football. And Tony, it was one of those wintry Isle of Man, well, not just days, last couple of days really, and the programme was hit pretty hard this morning with pictures around the island being waterlogged.
Yeah, well done to every club who sort of played their part in trying to get the games on. You know, absolute, applaud the ground staff out there. I know, listening to some of the clubs, what sort of work has been done and sort of fighting a losing battle, really, to be honest with you, Simon, because, you can fork and put sand on as much as you want, but that sort of rain that we had, and I woke up at 4 o'clock and looked out the window and just... thought that's it, we're not going to have any football on today. But looking at Peel's pitch today, Simon, I know you live close by and obviously keep an eye on the pitch, it was absolutely incredible. And well done to everyone. I think Daniel Lace was on it about 10 o'clock when it was lashing down to try and mark it out, and credit to him. But yeah, unfortunately we got one semi-final on, we didn't get the other one on, but we've got a plan, and it's all just been agreed, because we need to get this game on the Boxing Day, because if it loses that date, Simon, it doesn't sort of have the same sort of interest, I don't think, when you're playing it February, March, because that's the first time you can get it on. And with new sponsors and just everything, everybody's saying today, are you going to get it on Boxing Day? I said, I'm going to try my best, but I've got to work with the clubs to make sure that they're satisfied with everything. And we've just come to an agreement what we're going to do.
Oh, fantastic. So, let's first of all deal with the game that you were at for us this afternoon, Tony. The semi-final, we did get ahead, and it was Peel 4-1 winners against Laxey.
Yeah, and I was a little bit late finishing work today because of the weather, and I missed the first goal. Thomas Brown, as you would expect, would score. I think it was about 16 minutes. He tucked his effort away, but from what I was told, and thanks to Jeff Black for giving me the information, it was just a well-struck shot just outside the box, I think it was, or maybe just inside. Well finished, absolutely tremendous, and he was at it all afternoon. You know, he's got so much sort of pace in his shots, and he'll just have a ping from anywhere. But the second one was just a mistake, and I saw that one as it came through the gate, and Thomas just picked it up in the box and sort of got past one, got past two, and then fired it past the goalkeeper. Stood no chance, no protection for him at all. 2-0 it was within 16 minutes, so 2 goals in a minute was nice. But they kept chipping away. Laxey had a couple of chances. There was 2 cleared off the line in that first half, but it just wouldn't quite run for them. And then when the third one went in, it was a mistake. And Tom Smith's been having a great season for Laxey, and Tom will be disappointed with himself, but he just sort of chested it down, and Thomas was there, toe poked it in past the goalkeeper, and he stood no chance. So that was it, 3-0 at half time. But then start the second half, you just wonder what Johnny Palmer had said to his players in the changing room, and it was quite a lengthy half time, to be honest with you, but I don't blame them because it was pretty cold and the rain was starting to peter down as well. But they just managed to get a goal back 2 minutes into the second half, and it was a penalty, sure penalty, not a problem. And Brody Patience, it was, stepped up, and the goalkeeper Owen went to the right hand side, and you know, Brody put it to his left, and 3-1 it was. And they had a couple of other chances. Ed Canner hit the bar, but then again, you know, Thomas Brown had plenty of chances up front, and a couple of the other forwards had chances as well, but it didn't quite happen. But then a corner ball, and Daniel Bell took it from the top side and curled it over. And Sam Kenyuk, who's another Peel player who's come back from injury and playing really, really well, was managed at the back post to head the ball in. And 4-1 it finished. So Lax will be really disappointed. They'll be happy with the second half performance. But it's down to one man, Thomas Brown. You know, he can finish, and he is a big problem for any defence to deal with. And credit to him with his hat-trick and, you know, reasonable game all over.
OK, so you mentioned there, they obviously had the other postponements there, the game between Onchan and Corinthians. You've reached an arrangement of what you're going to do when that fixture is going to be played. Is that something we can talk about now, or is that something that will come out in the coming days?
No, we can do it now. And apologies to one or two of the press. We've just done it now, actually, about 10 minutes ago. Agreement from both clubs. Now, let's see how it started off this week. It was at Onchan Stadium, and then on Thursday, Onchan was classed as unfit. So, you know, Brian Callow, who's, you know, president, I think it is, of Onchan, did some work in the club, and they came back and said, we're happy to play at Bala Fletcher. I said, right, that's fine, no problem. Anyway, the worry for Bala Fletcher was that yesterday afternoon it was pretty wet after that rain. And then this morning we had the main committee members up to check it over because we needed to get this right. And it was soft right the way through. The four of us walked the pitch, and there was no way that that pitch was going to survive. It was going to cut up badly. So we chose that the game shouldn't be played. And obviously, we sort of looked all around. We couldn't get the bowl because St Mary's were on it and FC Alaman are on it tonight. So next week was back to the same plan. Onchan Stadium, if it's not playable, Bala Fletcher. And then if it's not playable, then we're really struggling to get it in. The weather forecast is not good all next week. So a suggestion was put to both clubs if we could get the bowl a week this Wednesday to play the semi-final. I'm delighted to say, and well done to both clubs, that they are happy to play. So that'll be Wednesday the 17th of December. The game will kick off at 7 p.m. What we're going to do is we're going to charge a gate on it because obviously it's Onchan's fixture. But the two clubs are going to share the cost because, you know, it costs money to hire the bowl. We're going to take a gate. It's not going to be much, £2 maybe. And then all the funds that we raise in that game, all the gate money or whatever else, will be donated to Craig's Heart Strong Foundation. Both clubs want to do that. They're both connected to it heavily. And that's the plan.
Fantastic. So that's Wednesday the 17th at the Bowl. Obviously, all those details will be confirmed on the respective club's social media in the coming hours and days. But, you know, that's quite a big thing to have a midweek game, isn't it? And a semi-final as well. It'll be a nice atmosphere at the Bowl. It's the week before Christmas. Hopefully, it'll be a fairly dry evening. Go for a few beers afterwards. It's set up to be quite a showpiece amongst football, really.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Simon, it's something that I've been interested to do right the way through. And people say, well, why don't you do it? It becomes the cost of the bowl. You know, the bowl costs quite a bit of money, you know, to hire for 3 or 4 hours. And clubs are reluctant to do that. Unfortunately, we had to force Union Mills last week to, you know, play at the bowl, and they have to pick up the tab. Hopefully, Laxey may consider helping. That's up to them. But I think it's something that should be built into the calendar. And maybe you just say to them, we pick a game, you lose home advantage, we play it at the bowl, and hopefully the gate money would cover it. But, you know, the FA couldn't. You know, we're under pressure, just like any other business, to make the books balance. But, yeah, I think it'd be great. And as you say, coming up to Christmas time, you know, they can go and have a couple of beers. Also, what I need to get permission from the FA, just to make sure that everyone's happy, that we open up the boardroom, you know, let the people come up and have a cup of tea, see the trophies and everything, and, you know, have some mince pies on behalf of the FA just to say Happy Christmas. But let's try something different. Let's think out of the box, and we've got two clubs who are willing to play ball.
Great. All right. Thanks, Tate. So we've got a plan for that second semi-final in the Manx Car Store Railway Cup as well. Just a mention for Manx Car Store, new sponsor on board with the Railway Cup this year. How important is it for you as the FA to be having these local businesses still out there supporting both the clubs and the competitions?
It's huge, Simon, because the Isle of Man FA, all we are facilitating Manx football, but also we're looking after the club's money. Because the money that the FA have is the 26 member clubs. So we need to make sure that there's money there to run the competitions. We need to make sure that the money's there to pay the bills that we've got, electricity, you know, a little bit of staff wages that we have to contribute to. So we've got a budget plan set out now, which is absolutely amazing, that we can see the figures in front of us, and they're quite frightening now when you see it. And it's quite frightening how much money we need to bring in when you look at electricity costs have doubled, everything, gas has doubled, insurance doubled, everything's doubled, but our sponsorship hasn't doubled. Mm-hmm. Our gates haven't doubled, so that's the one. So it's so important, and you know, this was last roll of the dice, because once the semi-finals come in, you need to have your sponsorship in place. And my thanks to Tony and Luke for, you know, coming in and helping us out. We've got a 3-year deal, you know, which is great. They want to be a big part of it. It was fantastic. And sponsors like, you know, Canada Life, Alman Steam Packet, Arden & Druggan, ECAP, and all the other sponsors that are involved as well. It's so important for any sport, not just football, hockey, whatever it wants to be. They all need money to pay the bills and to be able to move that sport forward.
OK, thanks very much, Shane. We'll move on to the other remaining games. No games in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Just run through the fixtures that were postponed. Braddon against Junior Mills. Douglas High School All Boys against Foxdale against St John's United. We did get two games in Arden & Druggan Limited Division 2. And the first one was a big win for Ramsey Youth Centre, 10-1 against Maloon.
Yeah, it was a huge win, this one. And, you know, when you sort of see the score, they've had a field day, Ramsey Youth Centre, today. And I've got a match report, so I'll give you that as well, Simon. Youth Eichair started pushing from the first kick and was one up after 3 minutes with a fine pass from Adrian Scarabuccia to finding Dylan Parrish, who calmly slotted it past Gandhi. Then on 13 minutes, Youthy doubled their lead when Parrish made a fine tackle, only for it to rebound off the post for Brody Kershaw to slot the rebound in. Then on 15 minutes, Parrish got his brace to put Youthy 3-0 up, and on 25 minutes, Youthy beat the offside trap for Leighton Ballard to slot it in past them to make it 4-0 after 30 minutes. Then Brody Kershaw got his brace with another fine pass by Scarabuccia, putting Youthy 5-0 up. 3 minutes later, Scarabuccia beat the offside trap again with another pass to Leighton Ballard for him to once again slot it past Jay Gandhi. But Youthy weren't finished yet, as their sixth goal came on 37 minutes from Kershaw. They got their seventh after 4 minutes later, with Max Sybil firing in the second half, starting in the same fashion as the first, when on 47 minutes, Youthy were awarded a corner for Dylan Parrish to get his hat-trick and put them 8-0. On the ninth goal came from a free kick taken by Cameron Parsons. On 65 minutes, he scored from 20 yards, but Youthy were not finished when on 70 minutes, Dylan Parrish scored again to give Youthy their 10th and his fourth goal of the game. Malou got a consolation goal on the 80th minute through a penalty from Paul Whitley, slotted into the bottom corner. Final score, Malou 10, they would have liked it to be. Ramsey Youth Centre 10, Malou 1. And just to recap the scorers, Dylan Parrish with 3, I think it was 4, Brody Kershaw got 3, Leighton Ballard with 2, Max Sybald, Cameron Parsons, and for Malou it was Paul Whitley. So, you know, a great performance there by Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
And the second game underway in Arden & Druggan Limited Division 2, perhaps no surprise when you look at the table list result, Duggerson District 0, Colby 3.
Yeah, and nice little report. Thanks again, Dave Matheson. It was 1-0 to Colby at half-time, and determined effort by D&D. Difficult conditions with yet another depleted team, and a special mention for 16-year-old Ben Qualtro, who made his first team debut from the bench. So well done to Ben. That will live in his memories. And well done to D&D, because Colby are one of the top sides, and to only get defeated 3-0, good performance.
I'm just looking at the Division 2 table here, Tony, as well. The bottom four, Maloo, St George's, Governors Athletic and Douglas and District, just starting to get set adrift there, aren't they, from the teams above them. Obviously, Maloo losing today as well. 8 points now between Maloo and Douglas Royal in the middle of that table.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's just the way it sort of goes, because, you know, what you got to do is try and beat the teams around you. But Division 2, you look at the top of the table there, Simon, it's awful close. When you've got Castletown, Colby, you've got Ramsey Youth Centre, Paul Rose, and way down the mix here, they've only played nine, I think it is Maroun. So there's a lot of twists and turns to happen in there. And don't forget, these sides play each other three times this year. So there's a lot of football to come in. And we're going to be doing the ECAP FA Cup very shortly. And then we'll sit down and hopefully get some of those fixtures in. But yeah, Division 2 is becoming very interesting.
And just to run through the postponed games in Division 2, Maroun against St George's, Douglas Royal against Castletown and Governors Athletic against Paul Rose United, all those games off. As no surprise, due to a waterlogged pitch, we move on to Canada Life Combination 1. Just the one game, St Mary's 3, Onchan 2.
Yeah, no problem with this one being played down at the bowl. And it absolutely heaped it down when I was travelling back from Peel. At about 3 o'clock. But St Mary's, good result this against Onchan. Billy Coulter and Ali Moore got the goals for Onchan. But for St Mary's, Max Gelling with one, Jamie Skillen and Therese Thompson. Well, here's a blast from the past, you might remember him. Alex Harrison, who's excellent footballer, but had his injury woes over the last sort of 3-4 years with his knee and stuff like that. Well, today he assisted all three goals. But I've been asked to highlight that he did miss two sitters. So Alex, I'll give you a bit of praise for coming out and getting your boots on and three assists, but the two sitters, I'll put that down to rustiness. But it'd be interesting to see Alex walking on Monday. I think he'd be very tender.
And the games in Combination 1 that didn't go ahead, Corinthians Foxdale, Union Mills Braddon, Ramsey Laxey, A United, Douglas High School Boys and Russian against Peel. And the final game, I think, of the day is Northern and Drugin Limited, Combination 2, Castletown 3, Douglas Royal 3. Good game in the south of the island.
Yeah, it is a good game, and it sort of helps when you've got some of the talents of Alex Crawley in your team, and Castletown had that today. He's been missing a few games for the first team, Alex, but still knows where to score at the combination. He got one. Neo Sherrick's got a goal and an own goal for Douglas Royal. Well done, Harley Bonus, because I've watched him develop as a baby to a junior to now a senior player, and his first goal for the combination, his debut as well. His dad does a terrific amount of work for Douglas Royal, and it's always nice to see your son stay in that team that you've supported and score a goal. So well done, Harley, and make sure your mum and dad buys you a nice tea that you want, because you deserve it. But Kyle Clark got one, and then on the other end of the spectrum, Kevin Ballard, who's about he's a good age anyway, got a goal on the 90th minute. And what's incredible about this one, Douglas Royal were 3-1 down with 7 minutes to go. So Kyle Clark got one of the goals, I think it was. And it was Kevin who got the equaliser on the 90th minute. Two red cards in this one from each. No one's owning up from Castletown, but I think it was Josh Smith who got sent off for Douglas Royal. But that's a great result for Douglas Royal against a good Castletown side.
Okay, that wraps up the games that did go ahead. Just recapping the Combination 2 games that were off. Jim's against Governors Athletic, Maloo against Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys, St George against Maroun, Paul Rose United against Michael United and Colby against Douglas and District. I've not totted them all up, Tony, but I would guess there's probably the lion's share of 18 games off there. How are we looking calendar-wise for getting these into the schedule?
Well, it's going to be hard, and we've got, as you say, probably about 18 games. I counted them Friday night because I'm starting to show, not a concern, but part of the reason why we've pushed for the game to go on Wednesday for the next semi-final is to allow the clubs to play their full league programme that's scheduled this week, because it ended up, you would have had to lose Peel against Ramsey, you would have lost the Ramsey game, they wouldn't have had a game, Peel wouldn't have had a game to get Onchan and Corinthians to play, and their opposition would lose. So it was just one of them where it's just getting scruffy, so let's try and keep the consistency going. If the pitchers aren't fit, they're not fit, but try not to alter the fixtures. So I think we're up to about 65 now, Simon. And when you think of it, in the big floods, that we had, we were 200, 240. So it's not a panic button. But with these extra Division 2 games to get in as well, it is going to be busy and we're going to be looking for every date. But we tried to get fixtures on the 27th. Nobody wanted to play, so that's fine. And the 20th, we promised to keep clear because a lot of businesses break up with the Christmas parties on the 19th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the 20th, it wouldn't be fair on the players and committee members and everyone to give them a sort of workload to do that on the 20th when they're not feeling very well with maybe hangovers. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, we do still have the draw for the ECAP FA Cup preliminary round to do. Those games will be played on the 3rd of January. It's a remote draw. Go to Carl Conroy down in London from ECAP, who will do that draw for us. What I think we should probably do first, Terry, if you're right for time, because I know you've got to get down to the bowl, is perhaps we'll do rugby with Dave, we'll get Carl on the line, and then we'll do the draw in about five
That's
minutes'
fine.
Time.
Yeah. That's fine.
Manx Radio Sport.
22 minutes after five then, five games involving local rugby teams today. And with all the details, it's Dave Christian. Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Wasn't good news, I guess. We're starting Regional 2 Northwest. It wasn't good news for Douglas. They went top of the table last week and they were there to be shot down, and shot down they were. They were actually leading going into the closing stages against West Park St Helens, just by a point, 28-27, but coughed up a late penalty for West Park, who took maximum points. Douglas, though, finished within seven, and they scored four tries during the game. That gives them two very valuable bonus points, even though they lost. Tries today for Douglas. Liam Kirkpatrick was on target again. He scored two last week. He got another this week. And there were other tries from Blake Everson, Josh Campbell and John Dutnell, with Nathan Robson converting all four. Douglas will face second place Sandbach next week at Portishee, and it should be a real Christmas cracker. Other news in Regional 2 Northwest is that Douglas have a game in hand. It's against Burnage, who are lower mid-table, I guess is probably the best way to describe them. That game's been set down, I think, for the end of January. And if Douglas manage to take 5 points from that game in hand, they will still be league leaders by 3 points. So there's plenty of opportunity there for Douglas to kick onwards, despite today's little bit of an upset. They've played 10, won 8, lost 2. And the teams all above them have played 11, won 8, lost 3. So it's North Ribblesdale head in the table, Sandbach second, Vale of Lune third, and Douglas fourth. And Sandbach coming to Douglas is a big game. Douglas almost won at Sandbach. They were ahead with 10 to play and Sandbach stole it at the end. So Douglas will fancy their chances next week, but they need to get this defeat out of their system from today. In Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, both Isle of Man sides suffered defeats, so there were no tidings of comfort and joy for either. Ramsey lost 26-8 away at Duckenfield, whilst Vagabonds hosted the league leaders Bury and lost 43-21. Probably we start at Bala Fletcher because Bury ran in two quick tries to grab an early lead up there. Cam Finlay pulled one back for Vagas. He converted it himself, but Bury had a third before half-time, which left Vagas trailing 19-7 at the break. In the second half, though, Vagabonds grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. Tries from Daniel Bonwick and Corne Theron were both converted by Cam Finlay, and it gave them a 21-19 lead. Bury, however, they're not league leaders for no good reason. They kicked a penalty to grab the lead back and then ran away with four tries in the closing stages of the game. So they pick up a bonus point. Nothing there for Vagas this afternoon. Only three tries for them. You need four for a bonus point. Ramsey were away at Duckenfield and they started poorly, just the same as Vagas did at Bala Fletcher. They leaked four early tries and within 20 minutes they were trailing 26-0. The team, however, finally woke up before half-time. A Dan Kelly penalty gave them a glimmer of hope, and at the break they trailed 26-3. Ewan Harmer bagged a try early in the second half for Ramsey. They started to dominate the game. However, as the time ebbed away, they couldn't build on Ewan's score, and Duckenfield even picked up a couple of yellow cards in the last 20 minutes, and Ramsey couldn't capitalise on that either. So, tough day for Ramsey away at Duckenfield, even though there was a beer festival on at the ground after the game, and I'm sure they'll have enjoyed a little dabble in that. At Bala Fletcher, no good news for Vagabonds, but the league leaders were always favourites to take the points. And the final game of the day was in the Hartford Holmes Bank Shield. Leaders Douglas Celts against second place Western Vikings. Turned out to be a bit of a tri-fest. 66-22 the final score at a wet and muddy Portishee. And Douglas Celts remain well clear at the top of the standings. For Douglas, the highlights, I guess, were hat-tricks of tries for Fred Atherton and George Antill. There were also tries from Sam Clark and Aaron Mason. Jack Rowlands gave a kick in masterclass in very difficult conditions. He kicked 8 out of 10 conversions. For Western Vikings, the top of the try chart was Ed Knight. He picked up 2 this afternoon, so well done to Ed. And that about wraps it up. It's cold, it's wet and muddy. We've got 1 week of rugby left before Christmas. That's next week. We've got Vagabonds Ladies at home. Ramsey are at home against Ashton under Lyne. Douglas are entertaining second place Sandbach in a belter of a game. So all the action yet to come next week, Simon.
Thanks very much, Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Sport.
And with that, we turn our attention back to football. It's time for the ECAP FA Cup preliminary round draw. And these games will be held on the 3rd of January. Before we go to Carl from ECAP, who's in London doing the draw remotely through the wonders of technology. Do you want to just tell us a bit of background about how this draw is going to work, Tony?
Certainly can. Carl's done it before, so there's no problem. He's very professional on this. He's been given permission by Greg and Dan, the two senior directors. And I don't know what Carl's condition's like, because it was the firm's due last night. That's why he's in London. But he's got the balls and everything there set in front of him. He's got 23 there is. So we need 7 games, because we need to eliminate 7 teams to get down to the 16. Carl, hopefully you can hear me. What's the weather like in London?
I can, mate. It's not too bad at all, to be fair. I'd say colder than the Isle of Man was. But doing well, recovered from the do, thankfully. And looking forward to the draw, mate.
Right. Well, if you can start the process, please, and give us time to write it down, because I know they come out very quickly. But we need 14 numbers out of the bag. So if you can give us the first two, please.
First two out, we've got number 7.
And number 7 is Douglas High School Old Boys.
And they are going to play number 17.
And number 17 is Ramsey.
Ooh, okay. Next one, Tony, if you're ready, is 23.
Number 23 is Union Mills.
And they're going to play number 1.
And number 1 is Ayr United.
Okay. Next out, we've got 21.
Number 21 is a home game for St John's.
Okay, and they're going to be playing number 10.
And number 10 is Governors Athletic.
Okay. Next home team now is number 14.
Number 14 is Onken.
And they're going to play number 20.
And number 20 is St George's.
Ooh, might be an interesting one.
Yep.
Next one, we've got number 12.
Number 12 is Malou.
And they are playing number 19.
And number 19 is Russian. This is game 6 that you're going to pull out now.
And I've actually pulled out number 6, Tony.
Number 6, Dave Matheson will be happy. Douglas and District.
Playing number 16.
And they play Paul Rose. Maybe not so happy now, but they did well off against them recently.
And there we are on one more, yeah?
Final game, yes, please.
So at home is going to be number 9.
And number 9 is Foxdale.
Playing number 4.
And number 4 is Colby. I'll just run through that draw, Carl, before we let you go. So the first game out is Douglas High School Old Boys against Ramsey. Then we have Union Mills at home against Ayr. St John's will play Governors Athletic. Onken with a home tie against St George's. Malou will play Russian in a Southern Derby. Douglas and District have a home fixture against Paul Rose, and the final game of the prelim round is Foxdale against Colby. Thank you very much, Carl. We'll see you when you're back on the Isle of Man next week. And once again, a massive thank you to ECAP for sponsoring the FA Cup. You've done it. This is your 5th year, I think, now, and it's much appreciated by everyone in Manx football and certainly the Isle of Man FA. Thank you.
I appreciate the time, Tony. Have a lovely night, chaps. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. Top man.
Thanks,
thank Carl. You.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So those games played on the 3rd of January, so the first weekend of the new year.
Yeah, it is, and we'll put rearranged fixtures on as well because it's a total clear date on that one. But it's the first sort of set of fixtures, Simon, for the 25-26 season, where the Division 2 sides come against the Premiership sides. And when you sort of look at it there, you've got two Premierships, Old Boys and Ramsey, Unimills against Ayr, the same, St John's against Governors. You know, Governors will like to play that. Onchan against St George's. Obviously, St George's rebuilding, but Onchan, new kids on the block, and they'll be looking not only to get into the Railway Cup semi-final, but also to get into that first round of the ECAP FA Cup. Malou against Russian. You'd expect Russian to win that, but, you know, it's one of those awkward grounds, if you like to play. It's on a bit of a slope. The surface is brilliant. Clubhouse is fantastic. But, you know, Russian will look forward to that. D&D against Paul Rose. They played recently, and, you know, D&D, you know what's coming. And Foxdale against Colby. Well, you know, Colby tried to get into the Premiership last year. Foxdale had a great season, but struggling a bit this year. Mm-hmm. And Colby will want to see what the strengths are like in that Premier League.
So that'll be a measure for Colby, won't it? If you know, what their aspirations probably are for next year, to, you know, if they can go to Foxdale and get a result in that game.
Definitely, and that's what they got to do, is just have a little look. But this is a different side now, Foxdale. When you look at Jason Charmer, Lee Gale, who played for them last year, incredible side, and that's why they did so well. But, you know, this year it's really tough going for them, but they're still getting it together. They're still getting two teams out, and, you know, everybody there is just working hard to see if they can get the points to get them away, because they're not far away. You know, Bradner on 7 played 13, and Old Boys played 11, 4, 5. So it's not panic stations, mm-hmm. but we're in the second stage of the season now.
Okay, Tony, very quickly before I let you go, because I know you've got to get to the bowl for the FCL of Man against Erland game. Difficult week last week for the Ravens off the back of a turn-up in fortune since Rick Holden's come in. But obviously, Erland flying pretty high in the table. How do you make their chances tonight?
Well, they are, and you know, when you look at the game before that, you know, FC Isle of Man, or 2 weeks before that, they went top after beating the Isle of Man, but the Isle of Man, you know, played really well. But to get beaten by 5 goals, you know, that's harsh for the players to take. I don't think Alex Maitland's playing tonight from what I've seen of the squad. I know Rob's on standby to give us the team news, but, you know, they just at home, they like to put in a good performance. And I always say, if you've left everything on the pitch and lost, then you can't ask any more. But when you expect a little bit more from them and it doesn't come against a team that really, you know, haven't created too many chances, then it's hard to take. So they could do with some more points to lift them up, but, you know, we'll all be there supporting them tonight. It's going to be a cold night, but plenty of cover down there. And if you're bored and looking for something to do, get yourself down and watch a game of football, because there's not too much on telly at the moment.
All right, Teddy, thank you very much, as always, for joining us. And thank you for sticking around to do the draw with Carl. Just the details on that ECAP FA Cup preliminary round. Once more, these games will be played on the 3rd of January. Douglas High School Old Boys against Ramsey, Union Mills against Ayr United, St John's against Governors Athletic, Onchan against St George's, Malou against Russian, Douglas and District against Paul Rose, and Foxdale against Colby. And we head back to talk more things FC Isle of Man. Rob Pritchard is down at the bowl to bring us a commentary of that game against Earlham this evening, and I believe Rob has team news for the Ravens. Good evening, Rob.
Yes, good evening, Simon. Good evening, everyone on Manx Radio AM 1368. Welcome to Under the Floodlights at the Bowl in Douglas, where I'm glad to say the rain has subsided at least for a few minutes ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division tie between FC Isle of Man and Earlham. Kick-off at 6 p.m, so in just under 25 minutes' time. We can indeed bring you team news. We'll start with FC Isle of Man looking for a response after that 5-0 hammering at the hands of Prestwich Hayes last weekend. Two changes to the FC Isle of Man squad that made the journey to Prestwich Hayes last time out. Tony's already mentioned one of them, Alex Maitland. He's not included in tonight's squad, and nor is Dean Pinnington. Pinnington, we understand, has been nursing a knock for the last couple of games, so this may well indeed just be a precautionary rest provided to the midfielder. Coming in this evening for FC Isle of Man into the squad are Leo Tregurtha and Adam Anabai. They will both start from the bench. FC Isle of Man starting 11 is as follows. In goal is Adam Killier, and then it's Callum Sherry, Sam Baines, Carl Clark, Captain Michael Williams, Carl Watson, Steve Whitley, Jean Marquez, Joe Middleton, Luke Booth and Charlie Higgins. Substitutes for FC Isle of Man are Harry Best, Leo Tregurtha, Sam Gelling, Adam Adebayi and Josh Kane. And for Earlham, looking to bounce back from midweek defeat at home to Chadderton on Tuesday night, they made three changes, incidentally, one of those coming in goal. Jack Buckley is out between the sticks and replacing him is Elliot Wynn. Elsewhere, Ross Davidson and Joshua Wood also drop out of the side, coming in Jacob Holt, who takes the captain's armband this evening, incidentally, as well as Max Bardsley-Rowe, who will start from the bench. So your Earlham starting 11 as follows. In goal is Elliot Wynn, and then it's Connell Larkin, Lucas Edwards, Alex Francis, captain Jacob Holt, Kingsley Williams, Jack Mitchell, Mason Everton, Callum Sandall, Ethan Cartwright and John Johnston. Substitutes for Earlham are Declan Daniels, Harrison Fleury, Mitchell Henry, Andrew Langford and Max Bardsley-Rowe. Your referee this evening is George Corrie, and his assistants are Nicholas Cowell and Matthew Shaw. For FC Isle of Man, results have been largely on the up in the last few weeks under interim manager Rick Holden, but they got a stark reminder of the reality and ruthlessness of this league last weekend in that 5-0 defeat at the hands of Prestwich Hayes. Hearing some of Rick Holden's comments post-match with the club media in the immediate 24 hours afterwards, he maybe felt that it wasn't a true reflection maybe of his side's performance, but certainly not an acceptable result in the eyes of many. And of course, FC Isle of Man come into this game with just the one win at home so far this season. The home games will be stacking up going into the turn of the year as well, so they will have opportunities to impress the home ground in the coming months. However, they have a tough task ahead of them on paper at the very least. Earlham, playoff contenders, have had a strong campaign so far. Right from the outset, they've been in and around the top end of the table, and going into this weekend, they found themselves only 3 points outside the promotion playoff spots, the top five more generally, if you want to put it that way. So a win here would do them very good indeed in trying to keep pace with the teams above them and put themselves in contention for promotion later in the season. And in the reverse fixture between these two sides earlier in the season, you have to go all the way back to August, Earlham were comprehensive 4-0 winners at the Silver Street Stadium. However, they're yet to taste victory on Manx Shores so far. It's FC Isle of Man who've got the better of the head-to-head in that respect, with two wins and a draw against John Main's Earlham side in their last three meetings, the overall three meetings they've had at the Bowls so far. So can FC Isle of Man get the response they're looking for? Can Earlham also get back to winning ways and keep up their pressure toward the top of the table? We're waiting to find out. As I mentioned, when I got here at 4:30, the rain was absolutely persistent down, but I'm glad to say here, as the light has faded over the last couple of hours, the rain has subsided. The wind has dropped from what we saw in the last 24 hours especially, which I'm sure is a relief. So we'll be hoping those who have braved the conditions tonight will be hoping for slightly better weather as the evening goes on. And if you didn't fancy braving the weather this evening and coming down to the Bowl, but we only want to keep an eye on every kick of what's going on with tonight's game, we at Manx Radio have got you covered this evening. Full live match commentary from myself and Tony Meppen right here on Manx Radio AM 1368, kickoff at 6 p.m.
Rob Pritchard live at the Bowl, thank you very much. And although we have no Ben Cunningham to talk hockey this week here live in the studio, we do have a couple of pieces of hockey news to bring you. First of all, a brand new over 35s ladies hockey squad entered into the England hockey tier competition for the first time, stepping into the unknown in this knockout format, which begins in the cup and has pathways into the trophy and Vars rounds as the tournament progresses. The Isle of Man welcomed Chester over 35s hockey club to the NSC on Sunday the 30th of November, with Chester taking a 2-0 lead going into half time. Chester then found a third goal early in the second half, but the Isle of Man team managed to pull two goals back, making it 3-2. In the last minute of the game, Isle of Man score what they thought was the equaliser, but it was ruled out by the umpires. Our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham was pitch side for the action.
So, at the NSC on Sunday, the Isle of Man Hockey Association fielded their first over-35s ladies senior team in the England Hockey Championships. They welcomed Cheshire to the Isle of Man, and what a game it was. Cheshire just pipping the Isle of Man by 3-2 in an absolutely thrilling game at the NSC. We caught up with MHA Chairman Kim Carney and both goal scorers of the game for the Isle of Man following the game.
So Kim, commiserations, just didn't happen right at the end there. We got the goal, but it was disallowed. But a great comeback from the Isle of Man, being 3-3.
Yeah, it was, and we never felt out of the game at all, to be fair. We thought we had a few chances, you know, some great saves from the keeper, one coming off the post, and it just not quite getting there in the first half. I think we never ruled ourselves out from coming back. And the determination, especially in the Tier 1 as well, because everyone goes into Tier 1, so it's the unknown. You could literally get anyone, and they could have ex-England or Wales internationals like this team has, got a couple of Masters Welsh players. So it just it's just a fear of the unknown, but then also we now go into the trophy, and we've got pretty high hopes in that now.
Absolutely, in a newly formed side as well. Lots of new faces in the team as well. That bodes well going forward for Manx Hockey as well.
Yeah, it's great to now have that next stepping stone. You know, we've built the juniors, the under-14s, the under-16s, under-18s, now into the player pathway for the men's A and men's B Ireland teams. And now it just provides the next step for the over-35s and then the over-45s.
Absolutely. And as MHA chairman, for you, a day like this today, it must be special.
Yeah, to see all the families and supporters down cheering you on. It's just a lovely day on the Isle of Man, and to get a team across as well, it's just fantastic, because not a lot of teams want to come here, but they got up early this morning and made the journey, and that's usually us going the other way, so it's nice to have them here and host them on what is a great pitch for the NSE as well.
So that was Kim Carney following the conclusion of the game. We caught up with the Cheshire manager, Abby Hunter, to get her views on the game as well. Joined here by the Chester manager, Abby. Abby, first of all, welcome to the Isle of Man. How's your experience been to get to the Isle of Man?
Well, it was worth the 2 a.m. get up, definitely. And you brought the sun, so what a day.
Absolutely, and what a game as well. You were 3-0 up, and then the Isle of Man had a comeback, and they thought they got it right at the end, but the goal was disallowed, but you guys come away with a win.
Wow, we put on a good game today, I think. Tough one for the girls. but we came for the fight, you know. We came overseas, we weren't going to go without the win. So. But I will also say, Isle of Man put on an absolute game, so it was a good one to come over for.
Yeah, as well as that, of course, it was a good atmosphere down here today. That really does help as well. Playing off from where you normally play as well, it's a great experience travelling to other venues.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a lovely, lovely pitch. It was lovely to be here, and it was a great experience for all of us. So, yeah, thanks for having us in the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio's hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham looking back at the action from last weekend when the Isle of Man ladies over 35 hockey squad welcomed Chester over 35s to the island. And one final piece of hockey news to bring you before we wrap up Saturday Sport Classified. Following the conclusion of the 2025 Mixed Hockey League season last weekend, there was a small gap this weekend for outdoor fixtures, hence why Ben isn't here. Ahead of the end of the mixed campaign as a whole, with the Cup Final in the next 2 weeks, there was an opportunity today to shift attention to the indoor finals. They took place at the NSC in Douglas throughout today, and as always happened at the end of a season or calendar year, the Manx Hockey Association is looking at ways to evolve and grow the sport on the island. And with that in mind, we've been speaking this week with Manx Hockey Association's Hockey Development Officer Rachel Andrew about some of the plans the organisation has for the future, and looking back on 2025, she also explained how successful the MHA thinks the last 12 months have been for hockey here.
Well, I've been looking at the participation figures, and for the last couple of years, it's been around just hovering above 1,000 registered participants. So those are people who play hockey in whatever form. It's roughly a 50-50 split between the under-18s and the over-18s, which is great to see because it shows that we have got youngsters coming through and enjoying the sport as well. The bit of information we're getting from clubs now is actually understanding the age bandings and the male and the female, so we can try to put things in place to target areas where we're maybe a little bit low. So for example, it could be that when boys are getting to 16-ish, they're having to make a choice between football and hockey if they want to play competitively on a Saturday, because obviously have the clash of the fixtures on the Saturday afternoon. So we'll be looking at ways in which we can actually keep them in hockey. We've got to make hockey the sport of choice.
Like you say there, though, around 1,000 registered participants in some capacity.
Yeah.
You know, considering this is an island with a population of just under 85,000 as well, is that quite encouraging from the MHA's perspective to have that level of numbers?
Yes, it is. But also, we would always like to have a few more. The hard thing we've got, as with every sport, are facilities, because we're sharing facilities. And so you reach a point where you're having to think about ways you can actually do it differently. So, for example, in January, we are doing an under-15s indoor tournament. It's the first time we've ever done it, to give them the chance to play hockey but in a different format. So sometimes that's what we need to do, is look at the participation. It can be participating in different ways, not necessarily just through the league.
And outside of the playing side as well, of course, there are crucial roles that have to be filled each week to make sure matches can go ahead, umpires being one of them, league administrators and the likes of yourself and others taking up positions within the Manx Hockey Association. So how important is it that you can also advertise not just what's available if you want to play the sport, but also that there are key roles to get involved in within the MHA to make sure that everything else goes ahead and everything is completed behind the scenes.
Yes, it is. It's really important. And one of the things that we've done just over the last two or three days is England Hockey have launched a new junior hockey coaching framework. And there are so many amazing things in there that people can use to help develop their junior players. And to support that, England Hockey changed their membership system recently, so it's this year, so now included within the membership fee we pay is access to a lot of free courses. So there are free courses for umpires and coaches, so it's making sure we've got that, and then once that's happened we can support the people to make sure that they get experience and they're actually signed off as being competent in those roles. But clubs are always looking for help and support. We've got fantastic volunteers and everyone really does appreciate them. But sometimes it's the same people wearing multiple hats. We need to get more people involved, and we're hoping that through the courses actually being free, some of them are online as well, so you can do them at home. It might encourage more people to get involved.
Off the back of what you've just been saying there, so if anyone's listening to this and is maybe considering taking up a position within the MHA or within a club as well, that is a non-playing role, or just wants to find out more details about what any roles could entail, how can they get in touch with yourselves?
There are details actually on the Manx Hockey Association website, but they could always email me, which is manxhahdo@gmail.com, and I'd be quite happy to point them in the right direction. I mean, parents, if they want to sign up for some of the courses, they can do that as well.
Looking forward, even if it's not for the MHA generally, but maybe just you and your role specifically, over the coming months, as we head into 2026, when there'll be a start of a new men's and women's senior league season as well. The mixed under 15s league will continue. The Ireland teams will be hopefully out and about progressing in tournaments. What would you like to see in terms of progress for Manx hockey in general over the next, let's say, 6 to 12 months?
It would be great to see participation numbers going up. I would also love to see more people taking up umpiring and coaching, and hopefully through the courses. And I would like to see walking hockey being successful and being able to rerun some of the tournaments we've got planned.
That's Manx Hockey Association's Hockey Development Officer Rachel Andrews speaking to Manx Radio's Sports Editor Ron Pritchard about the association's plans for 2026 and how they continue to develop the game on the island, and also looking back on some of the success stories for Manx Hockey throughout 2025. It's 11 minutes away from 6 o'clock. That more or less wraps it up for Saturday Sport Classified. Thank you for your company, and don't forget this programme available for you to listen back to very shortly as a podcast if you want to listen back to any of the reactions to today's local football or rugby results for the games that we did get in, and also a recap of the ECAP FA Cup preliminary round draw, which we did earlier on with Carl Conroy from ECAP. Those games, just a reminder, played on the 3rd of January. Ron Pritchard, Tony Meppham up next with full commentary from FC Isle of Man at the Bowl, taking on Earlham this evening. And until we're ready to go live from the Bowl, I'll hand you back to Manx Radio Gold.
Manx Radio Sport.